So how do you think your childhood played a part in your music?
I'd say it was a pretty serious role, I guess, in my music. As far as where it's kind of brought me back to at this point, you know, growing up, I grew up in Athens, Georgia, right outside of Athens on a farm, and my family had kind of a pretty decent sized community of, there was something called the Athens Folk Music and Dance Society, which is kind of this whole crew of Athens cats that all played music and everything from all the old folky stuff, you know, the Cat Stevens, John Pine, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, that whole world to like Appalachian old time music, you know, string stuff that had been around for a long time. And that's when I grew up, that's how I grew up playing, was sitting and taking parties with kind of this community of people and just washing folks' hands and starting to learn the instrument. And, you know, so music kind of from the get-go was all about community, you know, it's all about people spending time together and sharing together. And was always about kind of, I guess, the honest part of living, you know, something everybody did because they loved it with no other intention. You know, and so I kind of went through the ringer a little bit, went through, you know, when I was about 20 or 21, I got a song, that songwriting deal to move to Nashville, and, you know, the gig everybody in Nashville always wanted. And, you know, I think a big part of my childhood, you know, made me realize pretty quickly once I was up in Nashville and doing this whole thing for other reasons than every reason I did it growing up, you know, kind of changed things a little bit. Kind of made me realize I couldn't live and work and create art in that kind of environment, you know? So it's definitely brought me, I think it's kind of returning back to where I started, you know, writing music for the right reasons, about stuff that I actually care about things that I actually have to say and about real experiences that I have, you know? And I think that was all kind of rooted in me pretty early on. Kind of all I knew music to be. So you kind of can't rip that out of a guy, I don't think, you know, as much as I may have tried. So, you know, as far as the deeper, more, I guess, meaningful side of things, you know, I think it plays a huge role in it, you know, and even if we're talking stylistically, you know, music that I grew up on was a lot of that kind of late 60s, early 70s folky stuff, you know, the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and the, you know, all the other stuff I mentioned, and that whole world. And there was just a certain amount of, I don't know, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I just would call it magic almost, you know, it's, I think what it is authenticity, really, if I'm being honest, but there's a certain depth and a certain amount of meaning that those artists were all able to, they were able to pull from and in their expression that I really always connected with. And, you know, even the band, you know, I mean, you know, when you hear that stuff, you can just tell that those people mean what they're saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just has been something that's been pretty hard to come by in my generation, you know? So I feel like overall, that kind of upbringing, even the way I lived, you know, I mean, we lived very simple off the land and grew most of what we ate, and I lived in a log cabin and raised vegetarian. It was all very kind of intentional, pretty progressive kind of lifestyle, even when I was a kid. And I know a lot of people that come to that over time and kind of, you know, are moving back towards kind of off the grid and that whole deal. But it's a little bit different when, I guess, when you're raised in it from a baby on up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a little bit of a deeper place. So, you know, hopefully that's all been a pretty big influential part of what I'm creating these days. I hope so. I hope I'm still going, but, you know.
Can you take us to through the creation process of When Is Enough Enough? It's one of those songs that you listen to and you know that there's no BS, there's no nonsense. Like this,
right.
This is this is somebody's heart. Like, it feels like you're almost bleeding a little bit in the song. Like, you're putting something out there that not a lot of people put out. Can you just tell us, you know, how the song was written, if there was any inspiration behind it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always inspiration behind any of the tunes. I mean, when I was in Nashville doing the Music Row thing, I still live in Nashville, but when I was doing that Music Row thing, you know, that was the only time in my life where I might have been, you know, sitting in a room with somebody talking about the demographic and, well, let's write a song because, you know, people will listen to this. Like, and I only did that for about 3 seconds before I hated myself. So, for all my material, I mean, it's all coming from honest experiences and real places and situations. And it's funny that you said bleed, you know, because as fellow musicians, one of the background singers on the record, her name's Becca Bramlett, and her parents were Delaney and Bonnie, and she's done everything. She's in her 40s, I guess, but sang, you know, replaced Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac when she left, some of Elton John and Joe Cocker and everybody, and brilliant singer, one of my favorite singers, and she's got just about more soul than anybody, and we always talk to each other about, you know, promoting that, you know, let's get on stage and bleed together, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, and that is what it is. I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head. It's, you know, that when is enough obviously is about being in a space of brokenness, you know, and everybody gets there, I would assume, at some point where you're run down, you don't feel like you have much left to give. It's just trying to find a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and that song is a little bit, you know, it's knowing that the light's there, but not necessarily being able to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of being in the brokenness of that and you know, just kind of being at your rope's end a little bit. It is, it's a broken place, and it's a song that's kind of from a space of suffering, and, you know, a lot of times I'll write about actual relationship setting situations that are actually about relationships, and then sometimes the perspective may be a relationship that I'm actually more so actually coming from a couple of different perspectives or different perspectives of myself, you know, different angles, mm-hmm. But I'll put it into more of a relationship setting. But, you know, so that has to do with an actual, you know, relationship that I was going through at the time. And then also, I was right in the middle. It's kind of like my entire life was all coming to this same space of being just completely worn out. I had left the mainstream world of music and doing that. And so, along with making that choice to get back to what matters to me, you know, I got rid of all my stuff and sold everything and was living off of pennies, you know, for years and years, and living in an RV where, you know, in the winters in Nashville, you know, I was waking up and my contact solution was frozen solid because it was so damn cold in there, you know, like, for summers in the thing where, you know, it's 115 degrees outside and you're, you know, sleeping in your sweat, and, you know, struggling, man, you know,
yeah.
Like, what? My story is one of it's been a journey, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't necessarily allude to it in that song very much, but, you know, all of the hard work that the stuff takes and all of the process and all the struggle I feel like I've gone through or any artist goes through, you know, it's only a growing process. It's developmental in your art as well, you know, it takes you to a new space, and, you know, I think part of why I mean what I'm saying is because I've actually lived it, and I've been in those situations, and, you know, every night I went to sleep, you know, incredibly hot in the summertime, or freezing my ass off in the wintertime, you know, every single time any of that struggle was going on, it was kind of a signal going up for me going, is this worth it? Is this worth it? You know, and it always was. It was always worth every bit of it for me to keep pushing forward. And, and to get where I am now, where, you know, I've actually made this first record and I'm out there traveling around and sharing it with people. So, you know, When Is Enough is a big struggle song, and yeah, it's heart cut wide open and bleeding, and it's all from that time, you know, that time of working it out, you know, getting back to what matters. Anything worth doing takes time, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what it is.
So you raised $26,000, via Kickstarter to get this album produced. But I mean, the names you got, you mentioned Becca already, but I mean, you got some other great names and you got a great producer. How'd you do that with such little money? I mean, considering, I mean, it's not $26,000, a lot of money, but as far as like, you know, mainstream records and stuff like that,
right.
You know, how'd you do it?
It's come change for like for making real records, I know. Well, you know, what ended up happening was, and I can say this honestly speaking for everybody involved, is that we all kind of were coming to, I guess, a place where everybody involved was there really as a labor of love, you know? I think everybody has had times in their lives where they've worked for things, you know, that just helped sustain them, whether they're doing for money or for whatever else. And it's kind of like everybody, I mean, everybody in that whole crew was coming to a place to kind of going like, you know, we all want to do something that we care about. And it means something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was kind of coming from that place, and I was blessed enough that everyone involved, especially Neil, you know, Neil Capolino is the producer, and he's amazing, amazing dude, amazing heart, and amazingly talented. You know, he's worked with Alison Krauss, Bill McCurry, and Jim Oliver, and all these great people. And he's absolutely brilliant in what he does, but he's incredibly aware of you know, beyond just sonically sounding good, you know, like really tapping into emotion and really drawing that out. We met, you know, at a friend's mutual get-together. We were all sitting around, and we were having a couple beers at somebody's birthday, and we just all happened to be there together, and he and I somehow ended up getting cornered off somewhere and sort of chatting about music and talking and just about stuff that we love, you know, and started connecting right away. And I told him kind of my where I was and living out of my RV at the time. And, you know, we were just connecting. And I was like, you know, I want to get back and make a record, you know, 2-inch tape, 16 track with people that care about it, you know. And it was just like, you know, straight connection. He was like, I've been wanting to do the same thing, you know. That's the stuff that raises the hair on my neck too. Let's go do it, you know. And I mean, that was for probably 4 years ago. We met and talked about it, and you know, it was just a developmental process. And we, you know, so once he and I really started the foundation of building the thing, you know, and it actually kind of coming to fruition, and then we realized that there would be money there with Kickstarter and all that, and a way for us to at least get started on the record. You know, we started thinking about who are the musicians that really not only fit the part musically and texturally, you know, with their vibe and their personality as musicians, but, you know, who will actually care about this stuff. And I, you know, everybody else were just friends as well. You know, Reggie Young was a buddy of mine. He's a brilliant guitar player. You know, he's done everything from Dusty Springfield, Son of a Preacher Man, to Elvis in Memphis, to Waylon Jennings, you know, Sweet Caroline, you know, that, you know, the guy's played guitar on everything. And he actually, we met in another group that I'm in, it's called the Hogs Up String Band. We were playing a show, and he loved that band, and we got to talking afterwards, and again, just connecting on music, and so we got to be buddies that way. And then the Cardinals guys, you know, Brad Templeton is the drummer, and John Baboff, and they were in the band, the Cardinals, that was with Ryan Adams for a long time. And, you know, I think those guys have always been dudes that have cared about making real music, as opposed to doing it for some other reason. And, I met John, I guess, first, John Graybell's postal player up in New York. I was playing a show up there, and, he was in another band that was playing. called the Tangiers Blues Band. Another buddy of mine named Danny Clinch is a photographer. He's got a great blues band. He plays harmonica in that band. And we met that way, and same thing, you know. It's just normal conversations. We all get together and start talking about music pretty quickly. You know, it's like any other thing in the world, really. When you start talking to somebody, you can pretty much tell who gets it and who doesn't right away.
it's crazy when you think about it, because it's like the music is created, you know, based on your life experience, and the record's produced by, you know, your life experience as well. You know,
right? Exactly. It all wraps in. You know, which is I think how it. And I mean, I might be completely ignorant. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs of how everything used to go, but you know, from everything that I've looked at and all the stuff that I've studied real deeply, you know, it was such an organic process always, and it was very family oriented, and that's just kind of what we've created, you know. I mean, hell, during the tracking of the record, I had my mother come up from the farm, and you know, she was hand cooking all the meals for everybody. We'd take our breaks, you know, for lunch, and
that's awesome.
She'd have a full spread,
nice,
you know, of home cooked meals for everybody, like almost, you know, potluck vibe. And everybody just, you know.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, you gotta enjoy each other, you know, enjoy each other and have a good time together and connect, and it will only better the music, you know?
Absolutely.
On every level. And so, we were really blessed. Long story short, I'm babbling you up, but long story short, it was everybody that came to be part of it. Dave Jacks on bass, I mean, he did everything from, he was John Bryan, played bass player for years and years, and Andrew Harris played bass for her, and Gabe Dixon is another amazing artist. I don't know if you know him, but he's a great singer-songwriter in his own right, piano player, brilliant. He played on Paul McCartney's World Tour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Played the Supertramp. He's super great. So, I mean, all of us all together, we were all really connecting on not just musically, but just on each other and having a good time. And we all felt good about what we were doing, you know, which changes the game in an amazing way, when everybody feels good about what they're doing. And so it was all labor love, you know. I wish I could have had the money to pay them everything in the world, you know, but I just couldn't. But they were willing to do it for less because they valued it as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question from me. I know this is going to be kind of like a highfalutin question, but how do you want this album to be remembered? How do you want people to, you know, 5 years from now, to go back and say, this album?
Right, sure. Well, thinking about it in those terms, I guess, you know, I guess the most that I could ask for is that that people connect with it, you know? Everybody's going to, you know, I'm not expecting anybody to take what I take from the music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I do because I have to and because I need to. And it's usually pretty healing for me, especially with the more difficult songs, slower kind of songs. You know, it's important for me to do that so that I can transcend some of what I'm dealing with, you know. It's kind of a healing process in writing it a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as down the road, you know, I would just love for it to be a place of where the foundation was built from, you know. But it was the starting point. I plan to do this forever, you know, and we'll continue to. And you know, I did wait a really long time to make this record. That's part of the reason why it's called "It Don't Come Easy." I wanted my first debut to be right. You know,
yeah.
I have a lot of friends since I was a kid that have put out everything they've ever written and everything they've ever created. You know, I went through probably 130 songs just for this record to pick the ones that I thought went the right way, you know. And
mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of intention going into it, but it's just because I wanted to build my story the right way, you know. So I guess the most that I could ask from people is that they, as far as being, I guess, the first creation, that it represents who I am and what I am right now, and that it's kind of building the foundation, and that wherever it transforms and goes from here, that the starting point was a good point, you know, and that they can connect to it. And, you know, whether people get it or not, I can sleep at night about the record, and that's what was the most important for me, is knowing that it's got the integrity that I wanted it to have, and to do it with people that I love and care about and connect to, you know. So if people can see it in that light, which I would assume anyone who is aware and who's looking for that will pick up on that, and anyone who's not won't, and that's all fine and dandy, you know. Everybody, that's what art is, you know. At some point, art's got to stop being about, you know, my art's got to stop being about me, what I need from it, and let people, you know, take what they want from it. So, that's about the best I can give you. I mean, I'd love for everybody to love it. I know not everybody will. But, you know, this, it's the starting blocks, you know. This is where we're starting, and hopefully it just all goes up from here.